It's a real countdown now. Congress has until midnight to come to an agreement on the budget, or the federal government shuts down. They lose the ability to write further checks. President Obama met with congressional leaders again last night. Here's what he had to say after that meeting.
I'm not yet prepared to express wild optimism, but I think we are further along today than we were yesterday.
Joining us once again, our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. And Todd, you were in the White House briefing room last night for Obama's press conference. You said that what's holding up the budget is abortion, which isn't really a budget idea at all.
Well, you wouldn't think so on the face of it. It's a policy issue and a social policy issue. But to be fair, and this is something Republicans point out, and they're correct, this is not the first time that abortion has been an issue on appropriations bills, on these spending bills. It happens all the time. There is a federal law called the Hyde Amendment, which prevents federal funds from being used for abortion, and it's attached to appropriations, this kind of spending bill, every single year for the last 15 years at least. So that's not new. This particular bill says no federal funds may be used for Planned Parenthood. Now, federal law already prohibits taxpayer money being used for abortion,
I want to be really clear about this, because it's not a budget disagreement here. Already, federal funds can't be used to fund abortions. So when you talk about defunding Planned Parenthood, we're not talking about taking money away from paying for abortions.
Well, here's the issue with that. Money, as we all know, is fungible. When you make, let's say, $50,000 in a year, and somebody says, you can't spend any of my money on new car tires, you might block off some money and spend it all on groceries and other things, but you still have money left over from car tires that maybe you got from your weekend job. Okay, it's all just your income, isn't it? So the argument there is money's fungible, Planned Parenthood has income, some comes from one source, some comes from the government. You can't really divide in the final analysis what's from the government and what isn't. So federal money that's used for, let's say, pap smears or other functions, keeping the lights on at Planned Parenthood or what have you, women's health, family planning, it's all fungible. And so since they do perform abortions, federal money de facto winds up going to abortions. That's the argument.
Unfortunately, Todd Zwillick, I don't think we're going to reach an agreement on abortion policy by midnight tonight.
Well, there isn't a lot of middle ground on abortion. That's true. And that's part of the problem here. Now, we should say the differences do seem to have narrowed on money as well. I want to talk about the money real quick. The universe of cuts that we're talking about is around $34 billion in cuts that Democrats want. Republicans are around 38 or 39. You can always reach an agreement on a number, right? So there's always middle ground to be had on a number. They also have disagreements on where the money comes from and what kind of spending it is, whether it's discretionary or mandatory. But on the issue of abortion, Celeste, you're right. When was the last time there was middle ground in the United States on that issue?
Never.
It could possibly be a deal breaker. That's true.
All right. That is Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. We'll continue to get updates from Todd today. But also with us is Motoka Rich, economics reporter for our partner, The New York Times. And Motoka, you have a great piece in the newspaper today actually laying out what exactly the economic effects of a shutdown are. What's interesting to me is, yes, there are very specific things that occur when a shutdown happens, but perhaps the bigger impact is the psychological one, the fact that the government, to many eyes, is not acting responsibly.
Right. Well, that is the question, which could have a ripple effect into the financial markets. So if investors either here or abroad lose that confidence, then they may take it out on the financial markets. So that's one of the concerns that the economists that I talked to yesterday were expressing about the possibility of a shutdown, even if it is relatively short. Of course, there could be other effects if it lasts a week or two or even three, as it did in 1995, on the economy.
All right. Well, let's kind of break down then how long a shutdown can be before we really start to feel it. Let's say that 3 or 4 days, no big deal. But once you start getting into 5 days, an entire work week, then people start to feel it?
Absolutely. Like I was, for example, talking to the company that runs all the concessions, the hotels and the restaurants in Yosemite National Park. They said that as they understood it from the National Park Service, if there's a shutdown, the parks will remain open over the weekend, but if it carries on into next week, they will be closed, which means the hotels have to shut down, the restaurants have to shut down, and after a few days, that means they could potentially furlough all their workers, or at least ask them to take unpaid leave, as they put it. And that means those people don't have paychecks. And some of those workers, if they're living on fairly low wages to begin with, losing a paycheck is a big deal. It means they have to cut back, and that has a ripple effect, again, on the goods and services that they might buy.
All right. I mean, what other economic impacts are we talking about in terms of government contractors, maybe? I mean, one of the things you point out in your article is that there are people who already have set up deliveries that should make that are going towards government offices.
Absolutely. This is one thing I hadn't even occurred to me until I started talking to some of the folks who represent the manufacturing industry. If you have deliveries that are set up and there's not someone there to take the delivery, then you have to figure out where to store all this inventory that you normally would be shoving out the door, and that's an extra cost. You have to pay for warehousing. You have to pay for people to take care of it. So these are all little ripple effects that happen across the economy that are beyond what the immediate effects might be.
Does that begin to get worse, or does something new happen if we go into our second week of shutdown?
I expect that it actually begins to get worse. I mean, we don't know exactly what will happen, and a lot of the companies that I talked to didn't want to talk about their specific plans, so it's not clear how many workers would be furloughed, whether they have, you know, quick enough response times to ramp back on their manufacturing processes so they aren't accumulating all these stocks. But what the economists talk about what happened last time, which was it was a 20-day shutdown, and during that time it actually shaved about a percentage point off of gross national product. Of course, there were other things happening at that time. Then there was a 10-week Boeing strike. But economists generally agree that the shutdown did take something away from the economic growth, and that would probably happen again this time. And we are in the middle of a pretty fragile economic recovery, so it could have compounding effects. There are other things going on in the world that are affecting our economy, obviously, like crisis in the Middle East, concerns about supply chains coming out of Japan, and we still have a very high unemployment rate. It is coming down, but we still have a lot of people we want to get back to work, and so to have more people out of work, even temporarily, is a destabilizing force.
That's Matilda Ridge, economics reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Her piece appears in the paper today. And we're talking about the stalemate over the budget, which at this point is still a stalemate. We still can't come. The Democrats and Republicans still haven't come to agreement. They have until midnight before the government shuts down. Thanks so much to Matilda.
Thanks, Liz.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.